So Jamaica is considering marijuana legalization. It's being mulled over in countries around the world. And one of the world's leading advisors in the global pot push is Allison Holcomb. She's the drug policy director at the ACLU of Washington. She also helped lead the marijuana legalization battle here in Washington State. And last night she returned from a trip to Vienna, where she spoke at a UN conference on narcotics policy. The goal there was to discuss how to resolve the gap between international drug treaties that don't allow pot to be legal and the new laws in places like Uruguay that have legalized it. Hi, Allison.
Hi.
Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. Are you jet-lagged?
Maybe a touch.
I want to go straight to Uruguay. Since you've been there several times, you were at the UN speaking about it, and the issue and the question really is this new law actually legal under international drug treaties?
I think it's very difficult to make the case from a legal perspective that either the law in Uruguay or the laws in Washington, Colorado that allow for commercial production and distribution of cannabis comply with the treaty obligations. Certainly there are political arguments to be made, and those arguments are being made both by Uruguay and by the federal government of the United States. But there's clearly a legal tension here that I think is going to have to be resolved at some point.
So why is that a problem for Uruguay and the international community?
I think the tension for the international community is there's some reputational costs to allowing countries to essentially skirt or completely ignore obligations that they've signed on to with the treaties. It also, I think, raises the question of, well, if we're going to allow people to bend or stretch this treaty, well, why not treaties regarding chemical warfare or human rights or any of our other international obligations?
So what sort of pressure are they getting down in Uruguay?
Well, the International Narcotics Control Board, which is an arm of the United Nations, its president, Raymond Yance, has been very forthcoming and rather blunt in his criticism of Uruguay, going so far as to call Montevideo, the capital, a pirate. And that's very troubling in terms of international diplomacy and the conversations that nations have with one another. He's been much more circumspect with respect to the United States. But there is, my sense coming back from Vienna, is there is quite a bit of tension around the U.S. especially being a country that has pushed for these prohibitive policies, now allowing its own states to violate treaty obligations.
Washington and Colorado. Does that mean we're also out of compliance with international treaties?
From a legal perspective, yes. The treaties are three international drug treaties, and they very clearly state that the countries are not to allow and are actually to use criminal sanctions to enforce a prohibition against production and distribution of cannabis for anything other than medical and scientific research. And if they're allowing it for medical and scientific research, which we do have here in the U.S., that must be conducted through a state agency. So really, you could go as far back as 2009 when New Mexico passed the first medical marijuana law that allowed private individuals in the state to be licensed and regulated to grow and produce cannabis for medical purposes, that even that may have been a treaty obligation. So this has been building for a while, this tension about whether or not we are complying with the treaties.
So why is Uruguay and why are other countries asking the UN to focus on this issue? What are they trying to figure out? What were you there talking about?
I was invited to participate in one of the side events. It was a panel that was hosted by the Uruguayan government to essentially talk about the concrete nuts and bolts of what happened in Washington. And I was joined by a colleague from Colorado to explain what is going on in Colorado. And also Julio Calzada, who is essentially the Uruguayan drug czar, was there talking about Uruguay. And really the goal of our panel was to put a face to this very real change that has happened and to illustrate that change is possible and to give the other nations and their delegates who are there the opportunity to see that there is this opportunity. It's very interesting at the international level. I think I've taken for granted that here locally everybody's talking about marijuana law reform. It's not happening in the United Nations. And this was an opportunity to sort of press the case that it's time to open a dialogue.
What is the Obama administration doing and what are they doing differently? What are they saying about this contradiction basically between states like Colorado and Washington that have legal pot and these international treaties, countries like Uruguay now? How is the policy changing?
Well, the political argument that understandably needs to be made is that we're not out of compliance with the treaties. We are honoring our obligations under the treaties, and we're doing that because we still have a federal law that makes it everything that we're doing in Washington illegal. And what the U.S. is doing is simply exercising its latitude under the expediency principle that prioritizing prosecution of marijuana offenses is not a high priority compared to other obligations under the even the drug treaties. So that's the argument that's being put forth. And there is right now a sense that the U.S. is unwilling to discuss treaty reform. But we have United Nations General Assembly special session on drug policy coming up in New York in 2016. And I think really what we need to see there is an opening of the conversation that it is time to revisit these treaties.
How big of a problem is it? It seems to me that the U.S. or other countries might be out of compliance with international treaties often. And so how big of a deal is it if they just remain out of compliance?
I think it's an incredible problem for us in terms of our international credibility. So many other treaties depend on each of these nations being seen as being in compliance with treaties and honoring the obligations. We don't want to devalue the agreements that we're entering into with other nations across a whole host of very important international issues. And so while many of us, especially here in the U.S., might see marijuana law as not necessarily a high priority, the fact that any nation is ignoring its obligations under a treaty is disturbing on the international scene.
What other countries in Latin America are moving in the direction of marijuana legalization, and how concerned are they about the international treaty question?
Well, Mexico, Guatemala, and Colombia specifically called for this UNGAS, the General Assembly special session that I referred to be moved up from 2019 to 2016. These are countries, source countries and transit countries that are obviously suffering extraordinarily under current prohibitionist policies. Mexico, there have been a number of bills introduced at the national level there. Mexico City is looking at changing policies. There has been a series of soft defections, as we call them, from the international prohibitions by different countries, decriminalizing personal use, decriminalizing personal production. Spain allows people to grow their own marijuana. So there are quite a few countries that are experimenting with how much latitude the treaties offer them at this time. But really, ultimately, everyone wants to know, how are we going to take this out of the black market? And that requires regulation. And that is, at this point, something that is not tenable under the international obligations.
Thanks, Allison.
Thank you.
Allison Holcomb's drug policy director at the ACLU of Washington. She just returned from a trip to Vienna, where she spoke at a UN conference on narcotics policy. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.